ladies and gentlemen. You have waited all week.
Yeah, Boogie Page. Throwing it down for Lynx BMX is ready. I know I am. Check the ATB Airways. Let's kick it. All things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax. And it's all things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX are streaming to you. So post up on your couch, screencast to YouTube. It's gonna be fun, it will be a blast. Gotta do much, but kick back and relax. They coming to you live from a studio, or they might be at the track, man, you never know. So don't go anywhere when my rounds are done, cause the show's just starting, let's have some fun. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX got the boogeyman's back, so I wrote them this track to send some love back. JT, Melissa, Chris, and Paul, DJ Damon, kinda get it, entertain y'all. And I wonder who they'll have on the show as a guest. I bet some are good, who's gonna impress. Guess I will just have to wait and see. Let's get the show going and start the party. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe.
Welcome to the All Things BMX show. It's episode 172. We got the Flying Banana this evening with Eddie Fiola. He's running a little bit late, caught up in that West Coast traffic. He'll be in here as soon as possible. Just want to let you guys know, Eddie is an American professional freestyle BMXer. The accolades run deep. He is also a film stuntman, and he's a five-time AFA champion, along with a four-time Nora Cup number one rider. And he's been in tons of movies, Chris.
Yeah, I don't even know. I guess we'll find out about that here in a little bit when he gets on here with us. But
you ever see The Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah.
The movie?
The Johnny Knoxville.
He was in that one.
In that? Oh, really? I did not know that.
He's in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Really?
You can find it all on his IMDb, where you can hang around a little bit. We can ask him about it. But he'll be joining us here shortly on the Danger Snack video line. And we want to say give a big shout-out to the Danger Snack committee out there on the West Coast. It's going to be announcing. Mr. Brian Dorsey will be announcing this weekend at the Frogtown Classic.
That's right.
So you guys, if you see him, say hi. Bug him for some of those Danger Snacks. They're the snack that's the difference between dragon ass and hauling ass.
Oh. Hey, do we still have a discount?
Shit Show's still the discount code for you at checkout for the Danger Snacks.
Yeah, so check them out.
Man, more and more people are finding out about the taking them things and staging as you're going up the hill to get ready to race. It's becoming a new thing. I got more and more people coming up to me and hitting us up at the races when they see the canopy asking for Danger Snacks.
Yeah. So stop by. You see the All Things BMX show canopy.
We don't have
canopy.
Any left. We got to wait till we re-up. He's going to send another care pack our way after Frogtown. I was talking to him before the show. And okay. I know that our other friend, Mike Miller, is going to be announcing there too. So you guys, after this weekend, man, let us know how everything went for you guys there. Love to hear some stories. You guys in the chat, let us know what you're looking forward to at Frogtown. You guys, don't forget, you can support the show by sending the stars. That's below if you guys are watching on a mobile device. Or you can head on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page and send support in directly. All that goes to equipment, fees that we pay each week to do the show.
It's not actually coffee.
It's not actually coffee at all.
It could be.
We could maybe use some coffee tonight. But
Maybe. Chris and I are coming to you from the Big Top Desk right here. It's sponsored by DeSoto BMX. If you guys haven't got there, make sure you put it on your bucket list. Find yourself there.
Right now.
That's right. Melissa is back at her producer's perch. Melissa, how's it going back there at the Gate 9 producer's perch?
Doing great.
You ready for a big night?
Sure.
I'm doing my best for stalling right now.
I've been back to work for a couple days, so I don't quite have my sea legs.
No. All right.
You'll get there.
How long were you off, Melissa?
I don't even know. 3 months, I guess it was.
There you go.
About three.
Huh? Can't call it a vacation, though.
No.
No. Not when you're dealing with surgery and rehab and all that stuff.
I could definitely get used to that stay-at-home mom thing, though.
Yeah.
Definitely could.
Yeah, for sure.
Never had that opportunity, but I think I could make it work.
Just have to rearrange your schedule a little
bit. That's right.
The show's chat is brought to you by our good friends at BMX Rocks Photography. They were very, very busy last weekend down in Louisville taking pictures. I don't know if they've announced the winner on how many pictures she took down there.
No, she hasn't even loaded them yet.
But you know what she has going on? Roxanne has these trading cards. They look, you know, kind of like baseball cards.
Mm-hmm.
Those are cool looking, man.
Are they stickers or just the baseball cards?
I thought they were just cards, too. But then she said something about stickers as well. So I don't know if it's...
Oh, I'm going to get it. I'm going to give me a Chris Beer sticker and put it right on my number plate next to the Paul next to the Paul Remington pin that Richfield's going to be doing here shortly.
Oh, those are cool, actually. Whenever that race is, I got to do my best to get one of them, man.
Start kicking front tires out of your competitors.
Oh.
Speaking of BMX Rocks Photography, our chat question this evening, why do you think BMX has 8 lanes to start racing? I know I asked this, earlier last week, I think.
Did you ever Google an answer?
I did not. I didn't. And
I doubt there's a Google answer for that.
Why wasn't it 7? Why wasn't it 6? Maybe 10. We don't know. I don't know.
That is interesting.
Why isn't there a real Gate 9?
I wonder a Gate 9. I wonder if that was something maybe Scott Breithaupt would have been able to answer.
Or the All Things BMX historian. Craig Dragna might know. I think he's in the chat already.
All right, Craig, look that up if you don't know, brother.
Is he? I thought he was at Smashing Pumpkins.
He's pulling double duty. He actually told me last night he might be listening while at the concert.
I can tell you the traffic going in there tonight on my way over here was crazy over at Pine Knob here in Detroit. Oh, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
They haven't toured in like a million years.
There's a reason for that.
Well, many people would argue with your reason, apparently.
Still,
which
just
is why they were in line to get into the concert, and you're sitting right there.
I'll go watch the Doobie Brothers for the 39th time for a $4 ticket I find at the mobile gas station.
Right? Remember they used to do that?
Buy this energy drink, and we'll give you 4 free tickets to America and the Doobie Brothers.
On the lawn.
Of course. Tonight's Lightning Round is brought to you by 110 Nutrition, and our show doesn't happen without the support of our good friends at Answer BMX, Die Job Apparel, Bombshell Racing System. It's always those guys that help us out, you know. And we've stepped into the arena of promoting events now, and so we want to promote our upcoming event that we've got going on.
Oh, no one.
And what? What are you stumbling over there, Bob?
Well, I didn't know if we were going here or there. I'm just guessing,
killing
dude.
Time until our guest gets on. I don't know what we're doing.
All right,
but. Hey. What I'd like to tell you guys about
here we go.
Coming up on the September 30th out at Richfield Park. We're going to be out there, and we're going to be hosting the Hole Shot Challenge. And this is going to be a fun one. It's we stole this idea. We're just not even going to lie about it. Like, we stole this idea from Tyler Brown and Sam Willoughby.
Cafe Willoughby Hole Shot Challenge, man. Eh?
We've got DJ Damon. We've got lights. We've got fog machine, lasers. $7 to get in. We got tons of sponsors, adding more and more sponsors. We're going to have payouts for the podium. We've got, look, if you don't hack it, you're going back to, you have to go down loser lane.
Okay.
If you win and you make your way through the elimination rounds, you get to go up winner's way.
Winner's way.
Loser
I like
lane
it.
And winner's way. Like, we got all kinds of stuff going on. It's going to be a good time.
You need to realize this is not a normal race. We are not racing. There's no motos. Nope. It's going to be just a whole shot thing. And if you're not coming out there to have fun with this and
stay home.
Just goof around and be silly, stay home.
Stay home.
Because the minute you start taking it serious, it ain't going to be fun.
There could be some inflatable sumo suits showing up.
All right. Just see that, like that. So this is going to be fun. It's not that serious.
I'd like to see one of those inflatable Tyrannosaurus Rex. Somebody races one of those.
Oh, I know, the Halloween costume. Yeah.
And we've got we got cash for the winners. We've got a six pack of beer for those that are old enough, and we got like so for the younger classes, we got some energy drinks, and then some other in for the younger class. We got another thing we're just keeping on the wraps for them. It's going to be fun.
So it's going to be all different ages.
Yeah. Yep, there's four classes. It's all broken up. We've got we put the event out before we started the show last week, so you guys go check it out. And we're talking about some of the other events. The one we had last weekend, while everyone else was down in Louisville, we did the triple. We did the triple track challenge, and it was a good time. So what we did was three tracks over the weekend, and that was the award we gave away. So you put your finish on there. It was a really good time. We want to thank all the volunteers, all the tracks that helped with this, all the families, all the racers that came out. It was a good time.
Yeah, so this was in Michigan for folks that aren't aware. So
we stole the idea from Florida.
Yep, we did this from the Bang and Bar series down in Florida. So we had Can-Am BMX over in the Port Huron area in Michigan on Friday night. And then we hit Waterford Oaks on Saturday. And then there was Richfield Park up in Davison, Michigan on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a good time.
And if you hit all three, you got this fancy number plate from Gate 9 Plates. And then you got the little stickers to put your place for each one. It was a cool time.
Whoops. Yeah, and it just helped more people get to locals.
Yeah.
That's all it was. Man. I think it's about that time, man.
I think we... Hey, there he is.
There he is. What's up?
Not too much. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir. How's everything going? How was the traffic?
You know, it's stop and go.
As always. All right. Well, welcome to the show, Eddie. We appreciate you taking time and joining us this evening and getting home and dodging traffic. We're looking forward to this evening, and along with many, many people already piling into the chat.
A lot of people.
So, Chris, okay. You want to take it away?
Sure. So, Eddie, welcome to the show. And we're going to start off here. Shoot, we're just going to do it. Hey, how did you get involved in the sport of BMX?
How did I get involved in the sport of BMX? You know, I rode skateboards for a little while, and it just took forever to get anywhere on the skateboard. And, you know, the streets weren't exactly the smoothest. So as you skateboard, you know, one leg goes to sleep, and it takes forever to get anywhere. And near my house, there was one tree that dropped these acorns. Notorious for stopping your wheels on your skateboard. So that pretty much led me into riding my bike. I didn't know what BMX was. I just rode a bike. I had a Schwinn Stingray in the very beginning. And then I saw somebody, you know, take their handlebars off and put box bars on, kind of like motorcycle bars. And then they took their banana seat off and they put a single seat on. So I took my seat off and put a single seat on, and eventually, you know, I wanted a motorcycle, but, you know, the closest I got was, you know, my bicycle. And then we started, you know, just building and making, you know, Evel Knievel was big at that time. So we started building jumps and seeing how many things we could jump and how far we can jump. And, you know, it just escalated from there. You know, and then eventually, you know, this is years down the way, but eventually, you know, we wanted to ride, you know, the magazines, and I would look at the magazines and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, this Tinker Juarez guy got in this magazine, and it was down the street from my house. And I never even knew about this skate park, but they were letting bikes ride. Oh, I got to go there. So pretty much it. And then spent the rest of my high school days riding that park.
Okay, so you never got into the racing, just riding.
You know what I did? You know, I didn't want to race. mm-hmm. only because, you know, seventh guys are going to try to knock me down, you know. But at the racetrack, they made these jumps that were so perfect and so rad that, you know, in order to, you know, go ride these jumps, I had to go enter these races. And, you know, I didn't care if I got first, last, anything, as long as I could ride the track.
So. Okay. All right. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So you just started hitting the skate parks and that. When did it start to escalate into competition and that type of thing?
Good question. So the magazine actually started out this this competition. You know, when they started letting us ride the skateboard parks, I got a picture in the magazine. Steve Bennett got a picture in the magazine. Jeff Watson got a picture in the magazine. You know, a bunch of other guys, you know, and then the comment was on in the magazine, who's better, Watson or Fiola? You know, so that started the competition. And I think, you know, Bob Morales is one of the first ones that, you know, he made this SPSA Skate Park Association competition, and you know, I entered and went on from there.
Wow.
Okay. So did that competition, and did that kind of like tour around different skate parks, let's say in California, or?
Yeah, well, and again, another really cool part about, you know, where I live and you know, people say, oh, you're lucky, you know, I was lucky. I was lucky enough to live in California. I was lucky enough that there were seven BMX magazines. I was lucky that there were, you know, five or six skateboard parks around me, and all in Southern California. So the odds of me, you know, possibly being in the magazines, if I rode a BMX bike and I went to a skate park and a BMX photographer went there, then there's an opportunity for me to get in the magazine.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So yeah, I went from one skate park to another skate park and this and that. So, but it took time to, you know, get more and more people to jump on board.
Okay. So about what year roughly was that? When you started riding the skate park competition, when it first started out?
I'm going to say early 82, 83, something like that.
Okay.
You know, here's another thing. You had a cover shot of me in Haro gear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what's funny is I was coming up. I was building my way in, and people were asking to do photo sessions with me. And so John Carr had called me up and said, hey, I'm from BMX Plus. I'd like to do a photo session and this and that and at your local skate park. And I said, okay, cool, rad, awesome, I'm there.
Oh.
What's funny is that within a 24-hour period, I get a phone call from Bob Haro. Bob Haro called me, and I don't even know the guy. And he calls me and says, hey, we'd really like you to ride for Haro. Okay, I guess, you know. So he sends me a full uniform, a helmet, gloves, pads, jersey, pants. He gives me a bike. And he says, make sure you use this on your next photo session. Just so happens I'm having one.
It's very coincidental.
So, yeah. Somebody yeah. bent Haro's ear, I assume, there.
Says, hey. That's free advertising for him.
Sure.
And I, you know, somebody giving me a bike? Are you kidding me? Giving me gear? I would pay you to take all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Anyhow, so I do the photo session. Everything turned out great. Within the next day or so, literally within the next day, I get another phone call from, I think it's one of either Bob or Bob's assistant. And he says, hey, you know, we're going to need that bike back because, you know, it's only one of a kind, and it's the first one that we've made, and we got to do more photos with it to do ads and this and that, but we'll get it right back to you. Okay, that's fine. At this point in time, I was riding a Torker, so which was pretty close to being what the Haro bike was.
Because with the double top tube and.
Yes, yeah. So anyhow, but I still had the gear. So now Bob Morales had organized this large competition at State City, and you know, I'm riding the Torker, but I'm sponsored by Haro, so I wear all my gear. I go to this competition, and I win the competition. But you don't know where you're going to end up in the magazines or what's going to happen here and there. And 3 months later, the magazine comes out, and I'm on the cover. Mm. Now,
yep.
You can't buy covers. You can buy ads inside, but you mm-hmm. can't buy covers. So he got a free cover out of the deal, and with all Haro gear and the full sponsor and this and that, and, you know, I can't say to this day, I still don't have that bike. But
still waiting on the bike?
Still waiting on that bike. But here's the thing is that, so Bob had sold the company years and years later. John Bulgin was coming out with the retro bike that of that year. It was, you know, I don't even remember what year it was, 84, 85 or something like that. But it was identical to what it was back then. They didn't change the geometry. They didn't change anything. They had it made locally. They had it, you know, chromed and polished, and it looked beautiful. Anyhow, they only made 300 of these. And I got a phone call from Joe Hawk, who is running Haro at that point in time. And he said, hey, I'd like you to come out to this thing in Vegas while we're handing out these one-of-a-kind, you know, what am I going to say? Limited edition Haro bikes. Sure, you're going to pay for the hotel and the flight and everything. I'm on my way. So anyhow, we're in Vegas, and they start handing out these bikes to named riders, good riders, riders who have been riding for Haro for a long time. And then all of a sudden, they're at the end of the list, and they call me up, and they said, hey, you know, we haven't forgotten about you. Matter of fact, you're pretty much the second rider, other than Bob Morales, but the second rider in line to get this bike in the magazine. So so they handed me one, and it had my name on it. It has my name on it. I still have it sitting in the rafters in the box still, and it's beautiful. It's, I don't know. It's just the stickers, the chrome, the box, everything about the bike looks great. But anyhow, I eventually got it back. But they had me tell this story in front of Bob while he was
just real quick, did that Haro, does it have tough wheels or does it have spoked wheels on it?
So at the point in time of them giving us the bike, it was not a complete bike. It was just a frame and fork.
Okay.
So it was just in a box. But the display is beautiful. I don't know if you've ever seen one or not, but it looks really good.
No, but I do have the magazine with you on the cover on the Torker in the Haro gear.
Yeah. And there's another picture in there where I'm really young and I'm actually doing, that's it right there, where that's the photo session I'm doing. That's the Haro bike.
Oh, that is the one you're talking about. Okay. Cool. All right.
So that photo. Not that I don't like it, just not my favorite.
No.
That's me over at Huntington Beach.
So
still riding, still having fun.
Yeah. So you had Haro, and then what was after that?
BMX was growing. So many companies were coming in. I actually got a sponsor through Jocks Jag.
Oh, the shoes.
You can remember Rennie Roker?
Yes.
Yep. So Rennie Roker hired me and gave me a bike, and we went out and did shows, and we rode, Jocks Jag BMX bikes, and it was pretty much a mongoose, but with Jag logos.
Okay. Did you have to wear the shoes too?
Unfortunately, yes.
Those that don't know, the Jocks and Jags were shoes. I think they were trying to take on the Vans at the time for the number one BMX shoe. And they didn't exactly do all that hot at that particular challenge.
But Rennie Roker, have you ever seen the BMX episode on Chips? Where, I guess not Punch, but John has a BMX team.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now Rennie is the reason for that.
I have. Paul sent it to me, and he's typically the sound guy here at the show. He's got a track he runs, but he kept talking about this show, talking about it on some of our trips to the indoor. And I'm like, Paul, you forget there's like a 10-year gap. I miss Chips. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. He went and dug it up and sent it, and it was pretty cool. So I have seen that episode. That was
I saw it originally back in the day, but I haven't seen it since.
Yeah. Back when the Dirt Bike Kid was out.
you were like right on the forefront. Watch the sport blow up, and we're not gonna skip along, but. I don't want to skip ahead. Sorry. I mean, you've obviously seen the sport of the freestyle, huge, small, huge, grow, like it's where it's at now. In your time, like in those first 5-6 years, you're riding, and I mean, you're doing covers and things like that. From the time you started till, let's say, like 86, 87, what would you put your finger on as one of the biggest things that changed the sport in that window?
The publicity, ESPN, the internet starting, videos, mm-hmm. Video games. When we first started, we didn't have any of that. We didn't have foam pits, and we didn't have resi mats, and mm-hmm. we didn't have videos of somebody else doing it before us. We were the first. We didn't know what was possible. We didn't know what was not possible. We, if we tried something, we died trying to do it. if we made it, so the progression is, the safety gear, the bikes that were made better, that didn't break, I can honestly say I didn't really break a whole lot of bikes. One reason is I was trying to be as smooth as possible. Mm-hmm. I was trying to emulate Bob Haro, how smooth and flawless he was when he rode. But the kids, now, they can get points to even just try to make the trick, mm-hmm. instead of making the trick. I mean, they'll get, they'll actually win for doing a double backflip trying it, mm-hmm. back in the day. But, now a double backflip is a must in your run.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. So when you started, you were using race bikes for
yes.
doing the tricks. There were no freestyle specific bikes.
No. So the only one that was specific is that was Bob Harrow's bike. The Torker was, you know, mainly a race bike. And yeah, when I got sponsored by GT, they didn't hand us a freestyle bike. They handed us a race bike. We had a Mach 1. We had a Pro Series. We had, you know, their race bike. And when they handed it to us, we didn't say, oh, well, the geometry of the head tube is way too steep and it's too long, or the top tube is, you know, not long enough. We rode what they gave us.
Right.
And we work.
Yeah. Well, you know, like me being a kid back then, you just had one bike. And if you raced, that was the, you know, you were trying to do the tricks you saw in the magazine or whatever it be on the race bike. You know, so it you know, there, that wasn't part of the deal until that came out. You know, it was from my side of it, it was interesting to see how the magazines went from all racing, and then all of a sudden you start seeing these guys doing these tricks, and you know you'd see Eddie in a skate park, you know, blasting up in the air 10 feet above the top of the bowl or whatever. It was just
says watching some of your footage last night on YouTube, and something I feel needs to come back as fast as possible is, and I think it needs to be in the Olympics, is number plates need to be back on the freestyle bikes.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, we tried, it didn't work.
No.
And it was even about, you know, on our side of the freestyle area, you know, we're trying to get as many sponsors as we can, you know, because that's what's paying the bill.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
RL being the number one guy of getting sponsors, and his jersey being, you know, a mass collage of every sponsor you could possibly think of.
Right.
Well, without a number plate, now you can't put any sponsors on there. So RL had a number plate and ran it for a long time. But in order to do certain tricks, you couldn't have a number plate on and this mm-hmm. and that. And there's a time where I actually put wheel disc. I made my own wheel disc so that I could put more sponsorships on, so I could make yep. more money. And, you know, it worked to a point until it got windy. Then it didn't work.
Oh, those
those big wheel covers, those big, like,
you know,
I think Eddie's were white, big white plastic that mounted inside the rim. And then you could put,
yes.
you know, like GT stickers or whatever all over it, right?
Yes. That's yep, awesome. Exactly. It. So anyhow, you know, we tried to do, you know, number plates and disc covers and things like that. But, you know, it's all about, you know, the sponsorships and being, you know, when I rode for GT, it was like being a poster child and being recognized and being portrayed as, you know, straight and narrow and doing what's right. And mm-hmm. we're not selling to kids. We're selling to a parent. Mm-hmm. And the parents are the one who's buying the bikes. Going back to the BMX racing, and then all of a sudden freestyle happens. I take it like the new wheelie craze, right? So, you know, with a BMX bike, you have to go to the BMX track. You have to go somewhere in order to race that bike. You have to go somewhere to race other people.
Mm-hmm.
Where freestyle can go out right in front of my house. I can go in the parking lot. I can go to the beach. I can go anywhere and do freestyle, just like the kids on the bikes that are doing wheelies.
Right.
That's a great comparison.
No, that's very true.
Yeah.
Especially the flatland stuff. I mean, you just need somewhere flat and have at it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I know.
Eddie had an influence when I started riding. Because, like, the kids that got me into racing, they were all doing the freestyle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I had one friend of mine who literally tried to copy your routine. And, like, from the moonwalk to the... I might be calling the names wrong, the frame surfer and this and that. And I can't tell you how many times I had to scoop Nick off the ground when he tried to do the handlebar hop.
Oh, yeah.
And it's yeah. just...
Times I've miss that, and you're either over the bars or doing it the opposite way, mm-hmm. where you're jumping backwards and your heel catch the crossbar, and then your seat comes through your chest.
You've had such a huge impact and influence on the sport all the way around, and I just don't want to not ask this question, so it might be out of sequence here, but in your time, you're still doing it. We talked yesterday, we've got a ton of questions that came in before the show, and the chat's filling up with a bunch of them right now, along with just stories about yourself. But in you, what do you feel your greatest achievement's been in the sport of BMX?
My greatest achievement, you know, a lot of people are going to say the movie Rad, but I think just riding in general, just having fun and doing tours, the tours for GT, I think because GT did this world tour and we went around the world, and I'm, you know, people know who I am because I was there, mm-hmm. and because of the magazine, you know. If you fast forward to today, to a YouTuber or a TikTok person or something like that, people might see them around the world, but they don't know who they are, mm-hmm. you know, unless they're really interested in them. And they have a lot of, you know, media that they can show. But I think my greatest achievement is just, you know, riding and having fun. I don't, you know, I'm just a kid that rode a bike that had fun doing it. I think I was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. and I didn't go to jail. I didn't smoke pot. I didn't do drugs. And I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not, you know, so I don't, somebody once said to me, and they, and I was asking them about, you know, how come I don't have a documentary about me, you know, they go, well, your story doesn't sell.
Oh,
you didn't hit bottom. You didn't bury somebody in the desert. You didn't, you know, kill anybody. You're not doing drugs, you know? So it's like, so I did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My story doesn't sell. So anyhow, on that, we're making a documentary.
It's perfect.
Right. Yeah, well, we'll just record this and we'll put it out. Right. So, I'm kidding.
You see the world tour part. What year was that?
I'd like to say I remember exactly what year it was. It's 84, 85, something like that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I just, to think like a world tour that this, you know, bike company decided, we're going to do that. And taking you guys around the globe with no internet. We were still heavily dependent on the transatlantic copper line across the ocean for phone calls. Was there fax machines? Would there have been fax machines?
That would have been right on the edge of it. So yeah.
Just thinking of like how you guys all just jumped in and took off and did this world tour without all these technologies there is wild. Is there a part on the tour that really sticks out you still remember to even to today?
The technology that we had in California was probably 6 months in advance of everywhere else. So when we traveled to Japan, you know, they didn't have a gyro. They didn't have a POTS mod. They didn't have certain things that we had on our bike,
mm-hmm.
because we're this much behind us. We had tricks that we were doing that we already had down pat, and we're trying new tricks where, you know, when we show up at a place like in Germany, you know, these people are still working on the our basic tricks that we were mm-hmm. doing. The other part was, when we went to different countries and we sent them directions on how to build a quarter pipe, not everybody knows how to read directions and not everybody knows how to put quarter pipes together. So when we showed up in different countries,
mm-hmm.
and we said, okay, we want an 8 foot tall, just at vert, and, you know, nice smooth transition. We got a 10 foot tall, 2 feet of vert, and 6 feet wide. You know, so, and you're like, some people got it right, some people didn't. But, but because somebody was, you know, paying us to go ride these things, I was just happy to be there. And we're going to ride something. And, you know, I just got lucky that someone paid me for something I love to do anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the cool thing, right? Got paid for doing something fun, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting paid to travel the world. It's not a bad gig.
Well, not a bad gig. And at a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true, too. Yeah. I can say from my own, I don't know, it's not about me, but, you know, from what I would see in the magazine and then try to copy that and try and figure out from a picture how they were doing something was very difficult. You know,
right.
Because all mean, we all saw you, was magazine.
And you got to figure out, well, wait, how fast was he going?
Yep.
And did he take his hand or his foot off on the way up, or was that on the way down? And then even a motor drive wouldn't give you the full speed of the and the technicality of how hard this trick is, and how many times we crashed. You know, I John Carr, Bob Osborne, Wendy, and all, everyone that took photos, you know, it's not always the first photo that they take is going to make it in, and it's not always the first time we shoot it we're going to make the trick. So A lot of cutting room floor stuff that didn't make it.
Oh, I'm sure.
When
I'm
you were talking about, you know, you're traveling and you're kind of ahead with the technology and that, really at that time, it was just magazine print was what people were getting, right?
Correct.
Yeah, because there wasn't, was there any videos out like in 85, 86, 87? Because I remember I got my hands on a copy of a Haro video that like I feel like anyone that was freestyling was in that video. And like Bob's sitting on a ramp talking about the enchanted ramp and like they're showing the van and all this. And I mean, we almost burnt that tape up because it was like the only thing we had other than the magazine to look at for that. But can you recall any videos that were...
I can't recall anybody having any videos or seeing any videos. And if you did have a video camcorder or something, it was huge.
I was just going to say,
enormous, right? So, and it was regular size tapes, and you had to go through the search and the squiggly lines and trying to fast forward and backtrack and all this stuff. But for the most part, it was, you know, photos, and that was it. And most of the time, the photos that if we did photos, we didn't know, you know, the timing or the clarity and the adjustments, and all we had was that little 110 camera that you're pushing the thing and,
and then you take the film to photo mat and see what you get.
That's great. Yeah.
I can tell you again from my thing, like I was saying earlier, you just had the magazine pictures. I didn't see anybody actually live ride, like do the tricks that they until Rad.
Well,
the beginning of the movie Rad. Yeah. That was the first time I saw actual moving tricks on bikes in, you know, Eddie and all the guys in the beginning of the movie. I was just, my mouth was wide open the first time I saw that. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is something else.
And did you go to the theater to watch that?
No, I didn't, because I didn't know about it at the time, or I would have.
You rented it at your rental place, and you wore it out.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, because I'd go and rent it, and then, you know, it'd have to be back like in a day or two, take it back. And then I'd go in and go, hey, I want to rent it for another 2 days and pay them, you know, whatever it was, $2 or $3. And I'd take it again.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if you know this or not, but so a DVD or not a DVD, the VHS tape was never sold. It was never, never sold, was never made for a home purchase. So they were only for rental and rental only. So if somebody had the movie Rad back in the day before the pirating went on, then they never returned it. And they paid the $100 fee of keeping the tape or the lost fee or whatever it was. But it was never sold. And until all the VHS home video rental places went out of business, that's the only way you got them.
Here was a real,
I picked one up for 25 cents.
there you go.
Here was a pro tip to get it for no fees. You just went to the local store, gave them a fake name you were renting it under as a kid.
Oh.
Because back then, it wasn't like they had elaborate computer systems. Like, the local rental store in my town had, like, recipe cards that they would be like. So I remember going in. My friends are like, yeah, rent the movie Rad. I just went in and said somebody's name, Sally Smith. And they're like, see you later. Never returned it.
And that's how you have those original VHS rentals.
Yeah, the covenant was getting your hands. And I don't, these aren't like a chain, nationwide chain. We have these here in the state. They sell like CDs and DVDs now and stuff.
GameStop?
Like a GameStop, right? You buy it used. And we found it at this place called Jelly Beans. And it's just resell, right? And it was a cassette of the soundtrack.
Oh, my
God. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I have that.
Straight burnt that tape up in my first or second car. My friends were like, why do you
stuck
listen?
Stuck on the send me in there.
Oh, it was that. And I'm like, I don't even remember that song being in the movie. And you go back.
Why does it keep skipping it?
Oh, it was. I bet that's still kicking around. I remember finding that one, and we were just, because I go in to buy music for DJing, and all of a sudden, one day, I'm like, oh, wait.
Is that?
They even make this? And I'm like, what? I had the other older BMXers offer a ton of money for that.
Full of LPs.
I couldn't find the LP. I was able to find the cassette. I'm like, and there was a moment when they started making, you could get things pressed on vinyl that I was like, I don't know if I'd ever, it was only about $300. I could have had it pressed on vinyl, like a personal one. As those machines got a little more affordable, companies would start offering that. And I'm like, I don't know.
Be kind, rewind.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, right on.
Hey, Eddie, we're going to jump in here and do our chat check-in with Melissa. So if you want to, and you can add to anything that we're, you know, the shout-outs we're giving and sharing some of these stories here. We're going to toss it over to Melissa as she does our BMX Rocks chat check-in. It's been extremely busy over there, Melissa.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we want to welcome again everybody into the chat and onto the show and thank Eddie for being here with us tonight. Lots of fans in the chat, it looks like. We want to say hi to Stephen Latchford. He's tuning in. Our buddies over at the Beer Budget BMX Live show are also tuning in on Facebook. Mighty Moses Tillman is also tuning in, talking about that cruise that's coming up for all you lucky peeps in about 2 weeks. Happy birthday to our friend David D'Artona. We're hoping you're having a great day, and thanks for spending it with us. Hi to Joe Rincon over on YouTube. We appreciate you being here. Show fan and friend Damon Tucson's also tuning in over on Facebook. Mr. Craig Dragna is tuning in over on YouTube, probably trying to decide who sounds better, me or Smashing Pumpkins. But because I believe he's at that concert this evening.
He is.
But
he's double duty and he was so excited.
I probably can't hear me over.
I'm sure it's loud.
What's his name? Billy Corgan. Hi to Barry Nilsson. He's tuning in. Who else am I missing? ClayClay118 is over on Twitch. Welcome. Hey. We appreciate you.
Got a Twitch user.
Corey Covington is tuning in. Says glad to see the local scene is growing. Oh, David said to your chat question, doesn't matter how many lanes, let's still pad those moto counts. Hubbard BMX Raceway over on YouTube says, hi, Eddie. There's a rumor you dated Wendy. Is this true?
Yes, 100%. Back in the day.
Nice.
So you dated Wendy Osborne?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm just saying that to clarify for folks that don't know who Wendy
All right.
Osborne
well,
is.
The rumor's true. You've heard it here. We want to say hi to Richard McAvney. Avenue, maybe. He says, oh my God, it must have been somewhere between 30 or 35 years ago. My girlfriend and I were at Magic Mountain standing in line to get on a roller coaster, and standing in line in front of us, just in front of us, was Eddie Fiola. I asked my girlfriend to ask for his autograph, and he was so kind and generous and had no problem signing our Magic Mountain ticket. My question is, does he recall this moment? And I hope to see him at Frogtown this weekend to sign that very same ticket.
Oh, that's cool.
I do not remember that moment.
That's okay.
I've met a lot of people in my day, and I have hit my head a lot. So I'm gonna blame it on that. But yeah, I'll be at Frogtown, and I can't wait to see that. If he even has photos back in the day, that love seeing those things.
Yeah, that would be
pretty cool.
All right, we're going to say hi to Paul Spadowski. He says hello to the freestyle legend. Damon had a question. He would like to know who was your biggest competition when you were riding pool?
I'm going to say it was Mike Dominguez, Brian Blyther. You know, those two guys were the skate park local back in that time when I was competing. Those were the guys to compete against. You know, Michael, Brian, Steve. There's another guy, McLeod, RL. Really didn't enter any skate park competitions, and as far as I know, Bob Harrow never entered any competition. So
that's interesting. I would have thought they would.
So Richard McAvney also had asked, "Who has more wins, you or Michael Dominguez?"
Ah, good question. I think. We were at a tie, but because the King of the Skate Parks finale, and I won, I was the reigning King of the Skate Park holder. Mm-hmm. We might have won equal amount, but because I won the last one, I kept the trophy.
You were crowned the king, right?
Well, you got another one-up win on him that's put you as the overall winner because you did the show tonight. You got another win, and it puts you into the overall category.
That's right.
Yeah, you beat him here.
All right, we're going to continue to say hi to Jim Bosco. Thanks for tuning in. Stickers Kinky says hi from Puerto Rico.
Hello.
Hi, we're glad you're here.
I think that's a new one for us, Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Nick Quinn says, what's up? Bill Sharp is also tuning in. Thanks, thanking us for the show. That's super cool. Ken Ballinger is over on YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. We don't mind if you're late. Better late than never, right? Todd Britton is also tuning in. He says that, hi to the King of Style. He loved the upside down number one on the back of the jersey.
Yeah, so, you know, people ask, you know, why I ran an upside down number one. And I always come back with, you know, if you went to a race car meet, there's a guy with a number one. If you went to a football team, there's a guy with a number one. You go to a basketball team and soccer team, there's always a guy with a number one. But how many people do you know with an upside down number one?
Just one, apparently.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey. Very smart marketing. I like it.
Yes. Hey, it got somebody's attention, didn't
it? That's right. Hi to Sean Gifford from Die Job Apparel. He's tuning in.
Giffy.
Len Novak's also tuning in. He says he's looking forward to riding with you again at Menifee Bike Park, local to Las Vegas, I'm guessing.
Out there.
I'm sorry.
We have a pump track in Menifee, not too far from my house. So,
okay, Menifee.
I pretty much rode all the way up until last week. And I had to stop because I had hip surgery a week ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I have brand spanking new left hip.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, so you'll be off your bike for a little while then, huh?
You know, a little bit. It's actually easier to ride my bike right now than it is walking.
Okay.
So it's weird on how the surgery happens. You know, they have to cut that bone off and do all this stuff where the incision hurts, but the new hip is beautiful.
Feels great. I just had the surgery on my thumb to remove some arthritis, and I know that feeling. I can take the surgery pain because it is nothing like that chronic nagging arthritic pain.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
I hear you. All right, couple more shout outs. We're going to say hi to Corey Lewis. They say that's what it's all about, having fun. BMX, however you do it, is effing fun. Nick was reminding that they charged extra if you didn't rewind your tapes, which is where I came up with Be Kind Rewind.
Yes.
Todd Britton said that he saw Rad at the drive-in. Doesn't get more 80s than that.
Oh,
I would actually 100% agree with that.
That would be cool, dude.
Going to the movie Rad.
Yeah.
I filmed it. You know, I'm living in Bellflower area. We filmed the movie Rad. We filmed it in 85, and it comes out in 86. And I tell all my friends, hey, we got to go see this movie. I'm in it. There's going to be a ton of people there. I'm going to be, you know, a movie star, and I'm, you know, doing all the stunts and here and there. And I show up at the movie theater on the, you know, the day of, and it's me and my seven friends. It's empty. I mean, like, it was crickets. But we still saw the movie in full view, and seeing BMX on a big screen is unbelievable. Back in the day, you know, like, you never saw it on video. You never saw it on TV. You never saw it anywhere. And to be able to see it, you know, on a big screen like that was just unbelievable. But, you know, I didn't get the hooting and hollering when I showed up on screen. You know, because it was my friends, and they're all just laughing at me.
So, right.
Too funny. So
35 years later, they did a one-day release of the they did some cleaning up of the movie, and they remastered, and they made the music better. Instead of a stereo 2.0, it was a 5-point surround sound. And they did the adjustment, right? And they tried to fix as many color errors that they could possibly fix in the movie. It's coming out on one day. And nowadays, you buy your ticket online. So I buy a ticket for myself, and I'm out of the town right at that point in time. And I buy one for my wife, and I said, okay, I'll meet you there. And I hit traffic on the way home, and literally I show up right as they're announcing the guy from Hell Trap, and they're going across the line. Right.
Oh yeah.
It's that when I walk in, you know, it's dark. Nobody knows I'm there. It's jam packed. There's people on the stairwell. There's people in the alleyway. There's people eating popcorn on the side of the chair. There's so many people. I've never seen a movie theater that packed, especially for Rad. But anyhow, I sneak in, and I already have my seat, and I sit down, and I hear him saying, you know, oh, hey, Beetle Rosecrans. Kind of quiet. Oh, Martin Aprio. Kind of quiet. Then they said my name. And I swear, nobody knows that I was there, but they went, everybody's hands up in the air, hooting, hollering, this one. Redemption.
There you go.
That's awesome. 35 years late. That's right. That's how it goes.
That is sweet.
All right, I'm going to round out here with hi to Ryan and Riley Baumgartner down in Florida. Our buddy Matthew Beauchamp's tuning in from Australia. Says, hi, guys. Finally getting a chance to watch the show again. Let's see. Oh, Nick's got a question, but I'm going to come back to it. Huck Karinsky says, hello from Ohio. Trevor Behan, also hi from Toledo, Ohio. Good Day Racing. Brian Fell with Mega Design Group. He is over on YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. He says he met Eddie at the Hall of Fame. Great guy. Oh, he's got a question too. Kurt Bliss says this guy in the day was amazing. Bona Marie also says hi to everyone. Great show. On the Baumgartner's at the track. Okay, two questions. First one from Nick. Did you guys ever have beef with the skateboarders, aka the wood pushers, back in the day?
So no, we all got along. I literally grew up with Tony Hawk and Tony Alva and all the big legend guys, Rodney Mullen. We never had any problems. And like they skated and we rode. We, you know, as the pros, we didn't have as many problems because I think we went really high in the air. And it was a lot higher than any of the skateboarders would ever go then.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't have any problems with any of the guys at the skate parks. And we would just, you know, call out our turn, going after, next, or whatever. And we just had fun. So, no problems with any wood pushers.
I always heard them called plywood pushers, but I'm gonna run with wood pusher from now on. I like wood pusher.
A little more concise. Okay, Brian Fell is asking, what do you think of Bill Allen milking it for so long?
For those of you that
are, he's putting it right out there. Come on.
For those of you that are listening on the podcast that aren't joining us live. Eddie just looked away.
He's pleading the fifth.
And maybe we should really quick. Bill Allen is the actor that played Crew Jones in the Rad movie.
Yep.
I completely off the subject. The subject.
Okay.
You remember Milli Vanilli?
Yeah.
Oh, the greatest band that never sang.
That never sang. That's right.
I was catching where you were going with that, by the way.
And the facial expression you cannot see at this moment explains it all.
It's well worth the replay of this on YouTube, you guys.
YouTube. That's one of those, and that's all I got to say about
that's
right. I didn't have to say anything.
Well, thanks everybody. Keep your questions coming. I'm following along and I'll get them out to Eddie as they come in. So.
Yeah.
All right. Keep them going.
And Mr. Fell says, preach.
We had we had a couple question or a question here. I've got to a few of them already, but this was a guest submitted question. It came through our page yesterday, I think, or maybe the day before. Same person sent a quick story over and asked me if we'd share it. And he said, this is, I'm going to do a crispy.
Do you want me
birthday.
To read it?
Go ahead. Yeah. This is more your wheelhouse.
Actually, I didn't.
The Hall of Fame thing or the other one?
Well, I was going to do the story first and then the question. Okay.
So the guest says, at OSR 2021, Eddie coached a young man to meet Bob Harrow. This person states that they are kind of old, but is a Bob admirer. Eddie saw that this person was intimidated at approaching him, so he role-played with him to build his confidence. And that person was Joe Sickman. Joe wanted to share this story and just to state how kind and selfless you were and how much he appreciated that time.
So do I reply to something like this? Okay, so Joe is a great rider, and he had asked me, when you meet people, there are certain mannerisms that some people have that stick out more than others. And when I first met Bob, I put my hand out and he shook my hand. But he gripped my hand like there, maybe it had to do with his riding or something, or grabbing the brakes or doing, but he was gripping, over gripping. I mean,
like, it's one of those death grip handshakes.
yeah. So, Joe, one day at one of the OSBMXR thing, had asked me about this, and if it was true, is Bob Harrow an over gripper? And he wanted to be ready for it.
That's
So I explained to him this is, and I showed him how he grips, and I tried to emulate exactly the way Bob would do it, and to be ready for when it happens, when you put your hand out. And that's pretty much it. That's the story. And you know, Joe went over and shook his hand. So, and I think they have it on video.
That's great.
But he was much more prepared for this over gripping.
Right. That's all right.
Took the intimidation right out of it. I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad he shared that with us. You want me to ask the... Okay. So Joe also shared with us that you, Eddie, had bought a podcast at the BMX Hall of Fame induction of Kevin Jones. And the rumor has it you negotiated a deal very well. He wants to know how you planned for that deal.
What was the question again? How I paid for it, or
how you
planned for it? How it went down, I think, is what he wants you to share with us.
I had an idea, and the idea, stuck. And Joe was, ready to take the money.
You bought it from him? Okay.
yeah. So it was a lot of money, a lot of zeros. Went on with that. So.
Okay, now that makes a little bit more sense. Yes. Okay. I think he was trying to kind of ask things in the third person, but I didn't realize that they were really revolving around him and his relationship with you. So, okay.
Okay.
We got it.
Okay. Are you doing anything with the podcast you bought?
As of right now, I'm not doing anything right now. They're restructuring, and it might be up for sale.
Okay.
Cool.
Wait.
For fun, these podcasts.
People sell podcasts?
Yeah, you just sit down. You're happy asses.
Wait a minute here. Flip that triple track number plate around. We got a for sale sign up here now. Just kidding.
We'll negotiate a hot deal.
The only zeros that are going to be negotiated in that is going to be in front of the dot. The decimal. Yeah, it's going to be over. Be like, there's a lot of zeros
tenths,
in there.
Hundreds, thousands.
Zero.
Pennies on the dollar.
Are we going a certain place here?
No, we're good.
Okay. So I want to ask him about something.
Please.
If we can kind of switch around a little bit. So you were sponsored by GT. How did that come about?
Prior to GT happening, I also rode, I was at Jock Jag for a little while. And then after Jag, I went to a company called Kurahara.
Okay. Yep.
And they were, Howie Cohen was the owner of Everything Bicycle. So prior to E.T. coming out in the movie theaters, they wanted to, they already know that their bike is in the movie, and they wanted to promote the Kurahara brand when E.T. came out. So I had gone to Japan for Kuhara and promoted the Kuhara brand for the movie E.T. So I wasn't in E.T., but a lot of my friends were, and we just got to, you know, travel the world. And the really cool thing with Kuhara and it being owned by Everything Bicycle, it was my first, you know, real sponsor that, it was like a kid in a candy store. Literally, we had a shopping cart and we went through this warehouse that had parts and they had everything. That's why we called Everything Bicycles. They were the distributor for, you know, Redline and GT and all these other companies and this and that. And they, you know, supplied all the bike shops, and literally he gave us a shopping cart and said, go to town. And we started filling stuff up. And, at the end of the, you know, when we got to the end of the hallway of all the bike parts, he says, that's it. You guys are good. Well, yeah. And he says, okay. And like, he didn't write down what we took, and we didn't, you know, take inventory of what we had. It was just stick it in your shopping cart and stick it in your car afterwards.
Wow.
When you, so you were over in Japan promoting, what was the promoting and what did it entail for you to do on your part? Like, what did you have to do as far as promoting?
It pretty much just ride the bike and do what we were doing here in California. So they had ramps out there and they had skateboarders and they had BMX guys and they had BMX teams, but they weren't doing what we were doing. Okay. We were going higher and we were doing tricks that nobody's seen before. We would place these ramps in malls and just ride, and we have some music going. We would have a interpreter pretty much not interpret what we were, because we didn't say anything. We just wrote. Mm-hmm. But he was announcing the show in Japanese and explaining to a lot of the people what we were doing there. The crowd response was definitely different in Japan compared to when we did shows in the United States. You know, the kids, if we did something spectacular, they would sit there with a smile on their face, but they wouldn't, you know, yay, and crowd, mm-hmm. and clap, and you, nothing. It was just kind of a straight face. So it was kind of hard to get any reaction from the crowd. Okay. Eventually we did, and the promoter tried to get the crowd to respond to what we were doing. So it would, you know, it was hard, but we were just promoting, you know, the E.T. Kuhara bicycle along with the E.T. Dolls and the mm-hmm. movie.
Wow.
I just think there's a, you know, they're like, hey, we got this bike. We're going to put everyone on tour, like, to sell the bike and the other merchandise. Is wild to think, you know, like that's big money to do that. And it sounds like you had some great times. So earlier we were talking, you were saying with the traveling, right? You had the crew back in California. You had named some of them off. What was it like riding daily with this, with your crew you had? Because we hear the names and it's like, dude, like, was this like a video game every day of, you know, like one-upsmanship? And obviously you guys would push each other, but you know, what was a normal day like with these people that all went on?
We'd show up at the skate park and we get something to drink and we put on our knee pads and elbows and, you know, helmet and go ride for a couple hours, and Mike would be doing one thing and I go, oh, that's cool, let me try that, and I would try that, and he would, you know, try to, you know, say, hey, you try it this way or do it that way, and mm-hmm. and it would work vice versa. But as the competition grew closer, then it would be like, I'm not showing him when Mike's there because I don't want to show him all my tricks. And then Mike would do the same thing. And, you know, if I showed up in the, you know, and he was there all day, he'd pretty much pack up and leave so that I wouldn't see any of his routine. And, you know, it worked both ways, like I said. Mm-hmm. if I saw that I'd been there enough and Mike showed up or Brian showed up or any of the other guys that would show up, you know, I kind of, you know, just sit in the corner and not ride and kind of watch them and, you know, but we all got along. We all had fun. Mm-hmm. We all, you know, helped each other out. You know, if I got a flat, somebody else would be handing me a tube. And if somebody else needed cranks or a fork or mm-hmm. pedals or a grip, you know, we had spare parts. And I can remember handing some stuff out to even just kids that were, mm-hmm. you know, needed something that day to ride.
That's cool.
Matt, I think one of the guys actually rode my bike and wore Mike Dominguez's helmet in one of the competitions.
That's cool.
In that 80s era, you know, the 85, 86, 87, when we were talking, when you won a contest, what was the payout? Were there prizes you got with the payouts? What were, you know, and how much were the payouts?
I can't recall the exact pricing and things like that. But, you know, back in the day, when we were sponsored by GT, you know, GT would give us a bonus at the end of the year if we did really well.
Okay.
GT would give us, you know, bonuses if we got in the magazine more, because then that's advertisement for them and it's easier for them. We would get a bonus after tour, that, you know, that we did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out there, but one of the bonuses that I got and I done the world tour and I got back from Japan. This is 1985, and I had seen this CRX in Japan, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. What I didn't know is that Jackson Racing, which is a huge Honda importer, was down the street from GT, and they had just imported a limited run CRX. It was a CR-X, and it was right-hand drive, and it was in Road and Track magazine, and they did a bunch of stuff with it in magazines and stuff like that. Anyhow, they were done. Jackson Racing was done with the car, so they were putting it up for sale, and I had just got back from Japan, and so when GT asked, you know, what do you want for a bonus, and what do you think? I go, well, they got a car and you have money. And if you give me the car and you give them money, then I never had any money that I had to, you know, tax wise that I had.
Ah, okay. There you go.
So I got a car out of the deal and I still have that car. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's in a bunch of pieces right now and it's going through some retro. You know, we're working on a new engine and we're doing a paint job to it, but we're trying to make it as stock as possible again. But it's immaculate when it was together. It was beautiful. I'll send you a picture later of what it is.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. But my new toy that I'm driving around now that I can't drive it because I have a left hip done. is a right-hand drive 1997 Subaru Impreza WRX.
Well, that car does two things, shits and gits.
It's unbelievable. Dual overhead cam, turbo, 300 horsepower. This thing is just unbelievable. And we had a friend who imported it, was about to sell it. And I pretty much said, you're not selling this one. This one's mine. So we confiscated it and I have it now. So, but I can't drive it because it's a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, with the hip. Yeah. You gotta... yeah. Well, once you get all the rehab done and therapy and that, then you'll be back on the road. Eh?
Oh, yeah, believe me, that'll be part of my therapy.
There you go.
I wanted to transition kind of away from the BMX for a second. And Chris, if you got something, we'll circle back. But okay, then go ahead, ask that. Because
I think we can cover it fairly quickly.
Go ahead.
All right. So when you were with GT, they came out with the Pro Performer bike. Yeah. How much were you involved with that?
So, knowing that we started off on race bikes and we wanted more freestyle aspect of it, Bob Morales and myself went to Gary, and I went to Gary because I wanted to do cross-ups, and my MX-1000 brake caliper wouldn't go underneath a race bike frame because of the angle of the bottom tube. It wouldn't pass through. Yep. And I noticed that on a red line, their bottom tube went up higher, and they had a gusset that the brake would flow past. So I had suggested, how about a bend on the top or the bottom of the bottom tube? And Gary said, that's not going to work. It's going to break. It's going to bend. But, you know, I'll make it. We'll see what happens. And he made it, and it worked. The part of the double platform section, right where the seat is Bob Morales. Bob Morales was used to a torquer and the Haro, and he wanted just to stand there where the seat mast was, but didn't need a double top tube all the way up. So GT Gary Turner made invented this top platform area. Mm-hmm. And so Bob Morales and myself were both involved in the Pro Performer, and that's pretty much it. You know, we were able to do cross-ups, spin the bars around, do all the stuff. And then somebody came out with this pot mod, you know, which you didn't need that bend anymore. But the bend helped in where if you were putting your foot into a certain spot and had more area. And so, yeah, Bob Morales and I both had a lot to do with the Pro Performer.
Okay.
So it sounds like you were responsible for the bend in the frame.
Yes, 100%. Now, the new frame, the S frame, was designed by Martin Aparillo because he did more flatland, mm-hmm. and he needs more space in between the seat mast and the bottom bracket. So they did another bend on the very bottom. So Martin is responsible for that second bend.
Huh. Hmm. Okay. Sense. See, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's why I asked that. But yeah. And then, I don't know, maybe later we want to go into the newer stuff.
Well, we're probably going to do part two.
We're going to have to.
I wanted to ask.
I don't know what the freestyle guys call it, but in racing we call it Moto 2. So we go around again.
We're going to definitely welcome back because we've got so much more to talk about.
Yeah, because we have to talk about the former pro.
We got that, the pot system, and all kinds of stuff that could go on. What I wanted to ask you about was your transition into Hollywood and your stunt work. Like, what led to that?
Yeah, so doing the BMX, when BMX was big,
yeah,
and all the companies, Foot Locker, Del Monte, Mountain Dew, Coke, Levi's, all these companies wanted to have some type of BMX in it.
Okay.
And, you know, they would call the magazine, and the magazines would actually be our agents. And the agents, they would call us and said, hey, they're having an audition in Hollywood to do these commercials.
Okay.
So, you know, the magazine, the product company would call the magazines to find out who the best writers were. And so the magazines would give them our names, and then we'd show up for the audition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did a lot of commercials, right? All the ones I just mentioned and then some. And then getting into the movies, I got pigeonholed into, you know, everybody knew that I rode a bike. So if it was a bike stunt, they would hire me to do the bike stunt. But they wouldn't hire me to get hit or beat up or hit by a car or mm-hmm. thrown off a building or anything like that. but I met the right people, and I got to know the backside of the stunt industry, and worked my way in through there. I started learning how to do rigging, stunt rigging, and all the knots and all the, you know, the air rams and ratchets and high falls and things like that. Where, and you know, I took a couple classes driving cars and started riding motorcycles, and I broadened my abilities to be hired so that I could do more and more stunts. But I've been shot and beat up and thrown off buildings and hit by cars, and you know, I've done pretty much everything except for set on fire.
All right.
You know, fire and my skin, not a good combo.
No. What would you say was that one stunt you did that you're like, that one was?
How'd I survive that?
How'd you survive?
Okay, so, Dusk Till Dawn Part 2, Texas Blood Hunt. They had me. I was a Mexican federale. I'm on top of the roof, and a vampire grabs me and throws me off the roof. As I get thrown off the roof, I land on these power lines, and these power lines stretch down and spark and flames and stuff like that, bounce back up, and then I fly over to a car, and I land on the roof of the car. And I implode the roof of the car. I am 15 feet above this car with a quick release. And the only thing keeping me from hitting the car is this quick release that somebody else has a button. And it was a 3-2-1 action, and they hit the button, and I tensed up and was waiting for it, and it didn't go off.
Oh.
And I hit the click. And it didn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
So I relaxed and it went off, and I hit the car like a sack of potatoes, but I don't know how I survived it, but it didn't hurt. Everything went like, you know, when somebody who is drunk gets hit in a car,
yeah,
they're the ones that don't get hurt,
right?
Because they're loose and less expecting. Well, because I loosened up and wasn't ready for it, I think I hit the car with less things. Anyhow, it's Dusk Till Dawn Part 2. I get thrown off a building, telephone wires or electrical wires, and then onto a car. So
that's crazy.
That is.
the funny thing is that during these stunts, they, you know, every time you do a stunt, normally there's a stunt adjustment. So you show up on set and you're getting paid your normal rates. Let's just say it's $500 to show up for the day, but you have to get hit by a car, so they're going to give you an extra $200 or an extra $500 to get hit by the car. Now, if you've got to get hit by the car again, then it's an extra $500 on top of what you're already getting paid, which was great. So when I did the wire gag, they had a camera underneath, and they had me flying down and landing on the wires and then bouncing off the wires to infinity. They kept me on the wires. They just got me out of the shot. Then the next scene is me flying and landing on top of the car. And that's literally me on top of the, on this crane with a quick release, 15 feet, and they let it go, and I just land flat back onto this car. Everything said and done, the stunt coordinator comes to me and says, hey, I'm going to give you $3,000 for landing on the car. And I'm going to give you $5,000 for landing on the wire. And I go, well, the wires didn't hurt. Why are you giving me more to land on these wires? He explained to me that it's the danger factor that when I'm above the car, if something wrong happens, I land on the car. I'm supposed to land on the car. I'm not supposed to do anything. I'm supposed to land on the car. Mm-hmm. If something goes wrong, I'm landing on the car. On the wire gag, if something goes wrong, I die.
Oh, my God. I was wondering if you were going there.
What the fuck?
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Wire thing is this, you know, if the wire breaks, if something goes wrong, if something doesn't hang on right,
yeah,
I end up with a camera from 40 feet in the air.
Oh, my gosh.
No, thank you.
So that's my stunt part. But I found out that, you know, I was getting paid to ride my bike, and I found out I could get paid more to fall off of it.
There you go.
All right. Fair.
Yeah.
Very fair.
So, okay. So what would be like your most famous stunt? Like, I don't know. What, I don't even know.
It's going to be, you know, where they see my face or that I'm in it, or mm-hmm. they see that it, you know, it's a no-brainer that that's me. You know, the movie Rad, the movie Clock Stoppers. There's a, if you ever watch the movie Clock Stoppers, you can, if you know my style and you know how I ride, you're going to say, that's Eddie. Without a doubt. There's been commercials. There's the 501 Levi's commercial, a Foot Locker commercial. There's, you know, a bunch of the Mountain Dew commercial where the guy is riding the bike and he's chasing the cheetah, and he jumps off the bike and he lands on the cheetah and he pulls the Mountain Dew out of the cheetah. And he says, bad cheetah. Yeah, so that was all me riding and jumping onto the cheetah. And, great, all great commercials and movies that I worked on, you know, so big and good amount of money. I mean, so the commercials, you know, they pay residual, and, you know, every time they show it, then you get more money. And depending on if it's a regional or it's a nationwide or a national where it goes across the country where other countries actually get to see it, then you get paid even more. And if they put it into a, like I did a commercial where they put it in Argentina during the soccer final, and they redubbed it in Spanish. Excuse me. They, you know, that paid extra. So, and I got to work with Beckham.
Oh, really?
It was very cool.
Cool, yeah.
Huh, that's interesting.
We got so much more to cover, but we want to make sure we get to our lightning round and trivia this evening, Eddie, and we'd love to have you back on. But the lightning round is always a fun time, but we're going to jump over and do our trivia question. Don't answer it, because the question actually pertains partly to yourself or your story, and that Melissa's going to ask us here in a second. So, you good to go, Melissa?
Yeah.
All right. And I just lost my trivia button. Sorry, guys. Here we go.
Yeah, you don't want me to hum it.
No.
Oh, there it is.
There we go. Melissa's trivia question brought to you by Bombshell Racing Systems. How's that?
They're stepping up and sponsoring the whole shot race, too. They got some pretty awesome awards, right. too. Got a good one, Melissa?
I never know.
No?
I never know. I don't pretend.
I think it is.
I don't know. Yeah,
I think there's some people listening that are going to nail it, though.
Probably.
All right.
Well, I'm going to guess this might be our very last pack of Danger Snacks, but there is a pack in this sticker pack here. With all of our other sponsors.
Them out of there, Justin.
I'm hiding it. I got a nice, lovely ghetto wear visor here to the winner, along with trivia sponsor Bombshell Racing t-shirt going out to the winner. All right, so the question is, what year was the American Freestyle Association founded by Bob Morales?
All righty.
What year was the American Freestyle Association founded by Bob Morales?
All right. It is time for lightning round. I'm excited. Are you, Chris?
Yes.
All right.
This will be fun.
These are rapid fire questions, Eddie. Don't think, just answer. All right. And the lightning round is brought to you by 110 Nutrition. They're getting ready to kick off that Florida State series. They were up at Louisville, man. When you guys see them, go over there and say hi. Check out the products.
Tell them we sent you.
Yeah, go ahead. And they got the new greens out. So and
gotta get some of that, man. Yeah, try that.
They're on order.
I can tell you that all the other stuff, so good. Pina colada. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Over there mixing it with rum. All right, Chris, start us off. With
the fruit one with the
tropical candy.
Yeah. Whatever that concoction was Melissa had a few weeks ago back at the racetrack. It was really good. All right. So here we go, Eddie. Last movie you watched, you liked it so well, you watched it twice.
Maverick, Top Gun.
All right.
All right, Eddie, what is your favorite sport other than BMX?
Motocross.
What is one place you'd like to travel to that you haven't been?
Hard to say. I haven't been. I've been to a lot of places. I've been everywhere. I can't say that I want to go to Russia because I don't. And
what about a return visit?
Yeah, return visit.
Return visit Australia all day long.
Okay, there you go.
Perfect. Right. What's the last thing you Googled?
1997 Subaru Impreza WRX injection.
Oh my goodness, okay. That's specific. All right, Eddie, what's your favorite thing to do on a date with your significant other?
Going to the movies, hanging out, driving the car, driving, in the canyon area.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Is your bed made right now?
No.
Okay. And now your wife's going to be upset with you.
No, look at that. Proof right there.
I'm living downstairs because I don't want to do the stairs upstairs. So we made another bed downstairs just so I can not have to do stairs.
Yeah, that makes good sense.
All right.
All right. Do you believe in the supernatural, like ghosts and that type of thing?
I believe in karma.
Ooh, okay. Good answer.
So, me too.
If like that's going to happen, it's going to happen.
All right, if you could transform into an animal, which one would it be?
Jaguar.
Okay.
All right. Talking bike frames right here. Aluminum, carbon, or chromoly?
I like chromoly, but my new bike will be aluminum.
Okay.
All right. We'll have to find out about that maybe later. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Mess up.
Okay.
I like that. Mine would be Microsoft.
Buy Microsoft stock.
Yeah. Okay, Eddie, what's your favorite guilty pleasure?
Ice cream.
Nice.
Okay. If you had to change your first name, what would you change it to?
D'Artagnan.
I like that. All right.
What is your favorite genre of music to listen to?
80s.
80s.
I would have guessed that. What's your favorite type of cookie?
White macadamia nut chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Good.
Would your 12-year-old self think that you're cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so too.
Okay. You're going to have to think about this one for a second. You're driving through a parking lot, you pull down one of the lanes, and there's parking spots on the left and the right, wide open. Which one do you take?
The one to the left.
All right.
Pulls in left.
Okay. That seems to be the most popular answer. Yeah. I don't think anybody said right yet.
No.
You know, not. Since we started asking this question, how much I've realized now how much I left turn to park.
I do the same thing.
I'll just Google random questions for this segment, and this one hit, and I was like, unless I'm driving Melissa's truck where I'll back up, it's the same way.
No, this one's from Mike Miller.
Yeah, that's right. This one came from him.
But the other one.
Still.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Eddie, what is your favorite celebrated holiday?
Favorite celebrated holiday? Halloween.
Okay.
All right.
Coming up.
Yeah. Pretty soon.
All right, last question. It's a tough one. Your favorite Wednesday night live streaming, it's also a podcast show, in the realm of all things BMX, what is it?
All things BMX.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir. Thank you for playing along.
We appreciate it. And all right, Chris, you want to let them know who's going to be on next week?
Next week, we are going to have Mr. Toby Henderson, also known as the Coca-Cola Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
He is the owner of Box Racing Race Incorporated, the American BMX company. He also has both a team of Forks, I believe, Cook Brothers, on and on and on. We will be joined by him next week. We'll get his whole story and where all these companies came from and what's going on with them.
Man, yeah, so another burner there.
Next Wednesday.
You going to see him out at Frogtown, Eddie?
Oh, yes. We actually have a meeting together. Toby also owns and bought the right to bicycle motocross action. So in this new company and him owning it, he wants to, you know, people who buy product from him under the bicycle motocross action name, that money is going to be, put to possibly scholarships or helping somebody get a bike that needs a bike, or, you know, just going to help out people, getting people on bikes. He had created a roundtable of pros and, intelligent people that know what's going on in the realm of BMX to, you know, ask questions to. And I'm part of this roundtable. We're having it in Frogtown this year. So
we'll make
sounds really cool.
We'll make a note. Yeah. And we can follow up and find out what came out of the roundtable meeting.
Yeah,
Melissa, you get a winner.
Don't have a winner.
All right, Eddie, do you remember what year it was?
I don't remember. I don't remember what I had won.
Look, I barely remember what day of the week it is. The way I remember is Wednesday. We got to do a show.
Well, as far as I could pull around from Google, it appears to be maybe in 84.
Yep. I'm gonna concur.
Yeah, yeah. So somewhere between 82 and 84.
That sounds about right.
The second you said it, Melissa, Todd chimed in. Yeah. I mean, right there. That's great.
Too late.
That's good.
It was a long Google.
Hey, before we sign off, Eddie, I want to toss it over to you for any shout outs, any thanks, and Chris, I'll take us out, but don't sign off. Just hang out.
Hang out for a minute.
Yeah, because we want to talk to you about coming back on. But I'm going to throw it over to you, and any thanks, any shout outs?
Yeah, just like, you know, thank my wife for letting me do these things and my kid. Like to thank, you know, Mindy Fruman and Kid Fruman for doing all they do for Rad Designs 1986, everything that they do, Supercross, Ryan over at Supercross, he is amazing. He's building the new bikes, and just like to thank him, because, you know, anytime I have a question or an answer to something or a design thing, he's able to answer it. So all those people, just, you know, thank you for doing what you're doing, and you're not unthanked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, Chris, go ahead.
No, I just actually, yeah, speaking of Bill Ryan, I know you did a little YouTube video with him, gosh, what, a few weeks ago. So go YouTube search Supercross Eddie Fiola interview. It's actually a pretty good one.
I watched that two days ago. It's a good video.
It is. You know, Eddie's got beer.
What's that?
He's got beer.
He has beer.
No.
I did see that. Yeah. At
Lager.
Yes. One more time.
The Pipeline Lager. It's the king of the skate park Pipeline Lager, made by not brain fart. This is what happens when you get old. And you have a brewing company.
Cool.
All right. So go check that out. Pipeline beer. Yeah. All right. I assume that has something to do with the Pipeline skate park.
Oh yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. So, yeah. So hang out with us for a minute, Eddie. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Make sure you like and subscribe and all that fun stuff, because we, you know, well, you're flipping through there with your thumbs. Just hit the little like button. It takes 2 seconds, not even. It helps us out tremendously. We need that. We need to get the sport hitting that YouTube, Google algorithm. So when kids search bicycles, it comes up at BMX, not mountain bikes or whatever else is out there for biking. But that's my little tidbit for this week, I guess.
Here's your Chris Beer rant of the night.
Yeah. So, hey, get out there and ride your bike this week. And God bless you all. Have a great night. I'm going to hand it over to Justin.
All right. From all of us here at the All Things BMX Show, thank you, Eddie, for being on here. And Mindy and Kid for helping me get in contact with you. Appreciate that, you guys. Thanks to everyone that tuned in this evening. We really, really appreciate it, you guys. You can find the podcast version. If you were late tonight, you can find the podcast version on all your favorite podcast sites. Also, the show will be up on YouTube and Facebook if you want to go back and watch the videos again. And we'll have the post up here probably in an hour and a half where you can find all of that. Once again, you guys have a great evening. And as always, you guys, God bless.